You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Hi, I'm Dr. Paresh Shah from Winnipeg, Canada, and you're watching the Best Practices Show.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practice Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over. Thank you guys so much for watching. I got a huge treat for you. One of my good friends on today who's a genius, and he's heading to the big game tonight, which we're going to talk about in a second.
Right here, go Jets, go Jets.
Whoa. That's not the New York Jets either. That's the Winnipeg Jets, man. Oh, so, yeah, awesome, awesome. Well, hey, quick, couple show notes before we get rolling. Thank you guys so much for watching. Thank you for your shares, and thank you for all your suggestions. We are up over 38,000 followers on Facebook. I don't even know how that happened, but I'm so grateful. So keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to see, whether we with our good friend Paresh or other guests, because we want to get those things on. And then also, too, keep adding questions to the feed. This guy is a social media genius, so he's like a hyper responder. I ask you a question, you're like, bam, like it comes back right away. So it's awesome. And today we're going to be talking about the hidden secrets in the one of the biggest hidden secrets in the co-diagnostic process. And Paresh, you and I were talking about this. It's one of the things that doesn't come up a lot. But before we get into that, if somebody's watching this and they don't know who Dr. Paresh Shah is, give us a little background on your story, who you are, and where you practice.
I practice in Winnipeg, Canada. I've been practicing for 27 years. Pretty well grew up in Winnipeg. Love what I do. I've got a general practice, 3 full-time hygienists. And you know what? My practice isn't large. It's 1,400 square feet, 5 chairs, got to be on. But a big part of my practice is perio. I love, I do a lot of lecturing. Been doing a ton with the Seattle Study Club and on interdisciplinary care and on also digital dentistry, and also now a lot on the team aspects of how you grow your practice and incorporate new procedures, new technologies, and so forth.
And the one thing I love about you is you're pretty honest about some of the evolution that you've gone through as a leader and as a restorative dentist, because I think the cool part about this is that nobody's practice is perfect. You've learned some pretty profound lessons. And then putting all these pieces in, and you and I are going to talk about leadership and a few other podcasts that we're going to do. But today, I asked you about this because I think you're one of the best at this, is like this perio piece. Let's talk about the why before we get into the how. Why is this so important in restorative dentistry?
You know, I got to tell you, it just, no matter what we do, it's taken me years to figure out that, you know, obviously the foundation of, you know, restorative and it is perio. It is a big part of it. And I know a lot of my periodontist friends and mentors will, you know, always have talked about that, but I'm like, yeah, whatever. But it really is. It's interesting because as I've evolved in my career, I've just found that when I've focused on that for my patients and I've help them create a good foundation. And that applies even to implants too, obviously. Mm-hmm. I have a better success rate of treatments. I have happier patients. And, you know, in my practice, it thrives better. I'm actually a lot busier. Profitability point of view, if you've got to put the business hat on, it's been great. And it has not stopped the referrals and the interaction and the work with my specialists. That has not diminished. In fact, I'd say it's increased. Right. But we're just doing better things for our patients. And my team is far better, more well-rounded now.
Right. And we could you speak to this, you know, not only when you have an authentic conversation about perio and those procedures increase in your practice, your patients are not only getting better care, but also right. too, it's adding to the restorative schedule. Cause we have found that there's a direct relationship between perio codes and restorative codes eventually over time. Would you say that's pretty much true in your practice?
Yeah, it is. And keep in mind, I'm in Canada. So our coding for insurance is different from you guys.
Right.
Okay? And it's not because it's not socialized or anything. We still have dental insurance and we still only have that same $1,500 maximum that was 35 years ago. Mm-hmm. That's blown on one root canal or crown, but we have different kinds of, scaling and root planing codes as opposed to collective perio codes. But the bottom line is, it has made a difference because as we have happier, healthier patients within our hygiene department, for lack of a better way to describe that, we are also diagnosing and treating more restorative as well. And it's collectively, it's that, like you like to call that co-diagnostic process. Mm-hmm. It really works well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you imagine or as you've experienced, you go around the country and I see you speaking at all the big events. You and I are together at a lot of these things and mm-hmm. people are trying to put these pieces together. And then I get feedback all the time. Like, I know this, but I can't get everybody else on my team sensitized. You've lived 9 lives.
I have.
Going through this. So give us a nugget to chew on. Like, what would you say to that?
You know what? When I took over practice from a retiring dentist back in 1995, John came to me and he told me 2 things. He said, one, if there's a patient who has a denture and he or she says, I'm in pain and you don't see it, trust them, they're in pain, help them. Mm-hmm. And then he had a partial denture.
Okay.
And I said, okay, what's the second? He said, you can be fired anytime. I'm like, what? He goes, a patient can fire you and go across the street. A team member can fire you and go across and leave work for another office. Don't forget that. And did I really heed that advice in the initial part of my career? No, I didn't really. I just kind of blew it off. But I realize that more and more now that if someone doesn't like you, they can just leave, right? Just the same as you can dismiss a patient or a team member. Right. So it's so now as I fast forward and I've matured more and I've learned and I've had my wife and my daughter and my friends and my team members who've been with me a long time kind of give me advice and say, dude, you got to settle down a little bit. I think you should be a little this way and that way. That's helped. So I've grown. At the same time, it's liberating that I'm at the point, and I say this respectfully, not disrespectfully to my team, if they don't want to work for me, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. But I expect some accountability both ways. And that's part of what I would say to an office or a team that's struggling if someone's holding back. You've done that with your coaching team. It's like you use the analogy, hey, if we got one wheel on the bus, it's not working, and then one of your coaches will go, look, doc, either you got to get this person up to speed or you got to get rid of them. Oh, but they've been with me for 15 years. Yeah. Mm. But they're the one resistance that's holding things back.
Right.
And either you're doing the holding back or this person's doing the holding back, but you can't do that. Mm-hmm. You're never going to move forward. Well, I can't because of this. Well, you know what? at some point in time, you got to say, you know what, I got to make these changes.
Yeah.
So that's, if there's a tip, that's one thing that I would say. Yeah. First of all, you got to walk the walk. If you're talking it, you got to walk it, which right. means if there's something that doesn't go right and it comes from the leadership, then you got to go, hey, this is, now we're getting on sidetracked on leadership.
Well, let me ask you about that, because when it comes back to the parent discussion or anything, yeah. like making a change, I've heard this and I really like this is, and tell me if you agree, it isn't so much getting the new ideas in, it's getting the old ones out. That's the hardest part.
Right, right. It is. And so what I chose to do is say, listen, let's go to the Perio thing. So making people accountable and making mm-hmm. yourself first, so that yeah. if you're walking the walk, it's easier for your team to go, oh man, like he's doing this or she's doing this. And you know, she's even apologizing for right. things that if it hasn't gone right, but they're also walking it. They're working hard. They're staying consistent. So I got to be consistent. Otherwise, this isn't the place for me.
Absolutely.
So that's part of it. Now, let's fast forward to, you know, how is this co-diagnostic process going? Well, part of the challenges were I was finding that as I'm doing these comprehensive exams, you know, the hygienist still can relate to hygiene and perio, but they were still scraping teeth. They weren't really being healthcare providers because they weren't allowed to flourish mm-hmm. or they didn't know how to flourish and talk about everything than just scaling and root planing.
Right.
And so I wanted to bring them to a level that, you know, through my training at the Koi Center, doing all the stuff. And I got a lot of respect for even the guys that teach at Spear. I've taken some of their courses, but I've done all of John's courses at the Koi Center. And so talking about perio structure, function, biology, well, how do I get my team to understand that language so that when I am talking to a patient, we're talking about risk assessment, we're talking about perio, we're talking about restorative in the same manner. I wanted my team, my hygienist, my admin team, my assistants to understand when I'm talking that thing. So I didn't have two languages for them. Mm-hmm. And so I brought some coaches in to train some of them, but I gave them some of the tools. I said, look, this is what I want to train them with. And perio is the foundation. So I also went to some of the periodontists that I work with. Stop me if I'm rambling.
No, I love this because my question is always going to be, how'd you do this? Like, or so, how?
So I just said, look, if I'm transferring, you get, you'll have clients that'll probably say, geez, I don't want to work with the periodontist because every time I send the patients off, they get lost and I don't get them back and I lose my hygiene production. Well, how about doing something slightly different? How about calibrating your hygienist so they work very similar to your periodontist? You give them an accurate diagnosis for perio. You give them an actual perio diagnosis. You do not only measurements on just selective patients, every adult patient, you do full periodontal probing as if your periodontist would, mm-hmm. furcations, bleeding scores, plaque scores, for clinical attachment loss, mobilities, everything, and give them a diagnosis. Once you give them a diagnosis, what did you do in school? We had to, whether you're in hygiene school or in dental school, you'd have to then go through active therapy, try and reduce their bleeding score, bring them back for a reevaluation. Your periodontist does that too when they're practicing traditional perio. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when we do that, mm-hmm. and as part of that, we get to connect with the patient. Mm-hmm. So now the hygienist is a healthcare provider and not a tooth scraper anymore.
Right.
So, and when they're doing that, no word of a lie, I'm not making this, is not BS, mm-hmm. but the patients do come back at reevals or a year follow-up. And when we do an annual periodontal maintenance exam and we do the full probing and the full periodontal charting, and they'll go, what's my bleeding score? Mm. And we're like, well, your bleeding score is down. It's under 10%. That's great.
Right.
Oh, what was it when I first came to the office? Well, it was at 25. I mean, you weren't cleaning, you weren't flossing, you weren't doing anything.
Yeah.
And look at, and you had all these cavities. So it's made my hygienist be way more accountable, but way more just elevated in what they're doing. They're just not scraping teeth.
Mm-hmm.
They're a healthcare provider and they're involved in the care and they can see it and the patients are engaged. Now, let's say we get to a point where they're refractory and we just can't get the pocketing down in an area or bleeding in an area. Now it's easy because, Kirk, you're the hygienist. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're the periodontist. And I go, Kirk, I've done everything I can. I just can't get this, you know, settled down. So will you take over? Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, heck yeah. Now, what are you going to do as a periodontist? You're still going to redo the measurements. You have to. That's part of your obligation, right?
Yes.
But you know what's been great in the last 4 years? I've only had a periodontist call twice to say, hey, your measurements are off. Something's not right.
Right.
All the other times they're like, hey. And you know what they do? They don't go through all the active therapy and blow up all the insurance. They actually start their surgery right away.
Really?
Yes.
Now that takes a lot of trust and you got to have really good communication with yours, you know, with everybody involved, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're at the point where with a couple of the periodontists, we can actually now share our continuing care or a lot of the times they'll go, you know what? They're in good hands. Like, send me some measurements a year from now, or I'll just bring them back every year, every couple of years, but all the regular maintenance will be done at your office. Don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I haven't taken away from my practice. I've increased my referrals.
Mm-hmm.
And the periodontists are now doing a lot of the fun work that they enjoy doing. They're doing the surgery. They're doing the grafting. They're doing the implants because they know that in my office, we've got a good system in place, and they know that if we run into some snags or challenges, that we've got backup from the experts.
Yeah.
So it's a win-win for everybody because we're giving everybody. And you know what, Kirk, I can look you in the eye now and I can tell you, like, when you go, hey, is the gum line receded here? You know, people ask that, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, has this changed? And I can look in the eye and go, we've done this measurement 4 years in a row. And you know what, Kirk? It has not changed in 4 years.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Just seems like the gum's receded. No, it hasn't. Our measurement's exactly the same. I can look you in the eye. But as soon as it changes, like we had something last week, there was a patient where it was like, oh, all of a sudden, all of this started changing by a significant amount. We contacted our periodontist. Said, look, you got to go see the periodontist. Something has changed. I don't know what it is, but we got to figure it out.
Yeah. Now you mentioned one of my favorite words, and you're good at this, really good at this, is systems. Like, you got the system down you've been working on the system. What were some key pieces, either in the verbal skills or how you communicate? Because dentists are always, they're like, I get it. You're going to teach me how to fish. But every once in a while, you just got to give them some bait and tackle and go, look, you got to hold the pole this way and you got to say this to the patient. Or what were, you know, because you said, you know, they now ask about bleeding scores. A lot of dentists, you know.
Yeah. Look, you know, with probably your clients, visuals are important, right?
Right.
So when you've got a periodontal chart sitting up there and you see all those red dots, it's hard to miss that.
Right.
We also show graphic charts. So we started using Florida Probe.
Okay.
And we were using...
You love it?
Great. The hygienist chose that. We were using Dentrix for a long time with the voice-activated Newspeer-type microphones.
Right.
And then we ended up, I got contacted by Florida Probe. Hey, would you like to do a webinar with it? So we tried that and the girl said, look, buy this. We really like it. Mm-hmm. And the visuals are nice. So when I walk in the room, we start with perio and then we work our way through structure, function, aesthetics, like, you know, things that we need. But the perio is the first thing is the perio chart's there and it's graphic. You've got a pie chart. And if there's a lot of, you know, increase in pocketing or increase in bleeding, all of a sudden the red goes up. Mm-hmm. It's visual. You can actually see that. The patient actually looks at that.
Right.
And then it gives you a percentage.
Right.
So right away we make comparisons. So we've created a comparison chart from the previous years. And I have them put the summary for the last few years of measurements, not the whole details. If I want to see the chart, they'll pull it up. But I give a summary of bleeding scores and pocketing under 3 millimeters, 3 to 4 to 6, and then over 7.
Yeah.
So they'll tell me like, hey, all of these have stayed stable. These have actually dropped. The bleeding score is down 7%. I'm like, fantastic. What are you doing? Like, Kirk. And you're like, hey, I started flossing, doc. I go, fantastic. That's so awesome. Next time you come in, you're going to keep flossing, right? because you notice we haven't picked up any cavities the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So that's been great.
One other thing, I want to ask you this too. Like when a patient really, you have to have that conversation and they realize they have perio, how do you help them understand that this is never going away? Like, because everybody's got their own way of describing this, because they have to know that this isn't going to get fixed. Like, this isn't just going to go away, right?
Well, during the comprehensive exam, they have a fair amount of time. So they spend the time trying to, well, you can use the term educate, explain, whatever it is, but they spend the time doing it. And we do have more, like, conversing with the patients. So we do have more patients over the last few years that do say, hey, wow, that is the most thorough exam we've ever had. That's not a bunch of BS,
because
it has become that way. But I think part of it is the personality. Like, they really do take pride in it now. They see, the hygienists see the difference that they're making in the patients. Sometimes it's exhausting, because if you end up having like 3 or 4 perio patients in a row, it's hard on them.
Right.
But they do take pride in it, and they do see the difference, and they do see the changes. And so that's been great. They have a systematic checklist that they follow, so they'll go through those things. And then we have some visuals and so forth, but a lot of it's just communicating. When you see that perio chart, it does make a difference.
Right.
And then we because we give them a diagnosis, that helps. Because we'll say, look, you're a moderate, you're a case type 3, you're a moderate periodontal case. You know, studies show that if we see you at a frequency of at least 3 to 4 times a year, we can control your condition better than if we only see you once or twice a year.
Right.
And so if you commit to that, we can help you do it. We can't promise that, but we have a better chance, because studies show that. And then, you know what? Because I've gone through the John Coyce's programs, he has these charts called Always Charts, and he also has shows literature. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all based on literature. So my hygienists I tell them, look, this is a laminated cheat sheet for you, but you're more than welcome to show all the ramifications that if they don't do this, you're going to end up needing possibly a periodontal consult for this type of surgery.
Right.
And here's the success rate of this surgery. And it's not as high as if you have your perio at this level. And we share that information with them. And it's not about scaring them. It's giving them the information. So it's about doing a risk assessment and basically telling them that you're at risk for losing this tooth because of this, this, this.
Yeah.
What do patients want to know? They want to know things. Is it going to hurt? They want to know how much it's going to cost. And then they want to know about consequences if they don't choose the treatment you're recommending. Correct?
Right. Correct. Now, I get this one all the time, and I'm just going to dish it to you, because I don't often know what to say. But, you know, you've had the situation where you go through this. Is it going to hurt? How much is it going to cost? Consequences. Let's say you have a young patient in the office and they have significant perio. You've educated them. Now you're at what we call the fork in the road, because if they choose not to do anything, you know, and you continue to see them or treat them, you know, you're kind of exposing yourself from a liability standpoint. Like, can I ask you, what do you do? Like, where do you draw the line in the sand?
So they don't have a choice. They have to have the full periodontal assessment so that they have a diagnosis. So if I've given them the diagnosis, and it's documented in there, and we have the charts, we're going to continue to do that once a year.
Okay.
And then we're going to give recommendations. If they choose not to come in on a frequent basis, and they come back and their bleeding score is high and their pocketing still high, then we've got it documented.
So you make them sign something?
No, we haven't made them sign it, but we've got the documentation there. We show that. So it's like, I had a person today came in, and he hadn't been in 2 years. So his bleeding score was high. His pocketing was the same as it was 2 years ago. And I said, dude, you got 3 more cavities now. I haven't seen you in 2 years. Your inflammation's still there. You need to come in a minimum of 2 to 3 times a year.
Right.
So if you can at least come in there, maybe in 6 to 12 months, you're not going to have the cavities, but you got 3 more cavities now.
Right.
Because you got inflammation. I know. Life got busy. But, you know, we're being honest about it.
Right.
If they don't want those measurements on a regular basis, then they're not going to be part of the practice, because it doesn't work. And what do I tell you? I go, Kirk, listen, when you go to your doctor, if you ask for a diagnosis and you say, look, doc, I don't want blood work and I don't want x-rays, how are they going to give you a diagnosis?
Right.
They can't. And so I'm sorry, I can't give you a diagnosis if you don't let me take x-rays at the appropriate frequency, whether it's 12 to 24 months, depending on the person, that if you won't let me take the periodontal measurements, I'm sorry, I can't give you an accurate diagnosis.
Right.
And, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I have so many other questions I want to ask you. When you're doing the co-diagnosis with a patient, tell us a little bit about how that works together and how you put those two pieces together in the restorative process that's going to happen in the road ahead. So, because I would imagine you got to get them to a certain point. They have to be educated. And then you, you somewhere say to them, look, in order for this dentistry to last, this has got to happen.
Right. And so I do, we do that. And I have to give kudos to my team because they, you know, I know a lot of dentists get really hung up, and you can do it so many different ways. You can say, hey, a new patient or an existing patient comprehensive exam, I'm going to do it and everything's going to be done in the dentist room. Right. My practice is really tight. I got 5 chairs, 3 full-time hygienists. It's hard for me to just all of a sudden block off that period of time. Mm-hmm. So I empower my team to get some of those records taken care of. And, you know, it's like you've probably coached with some of your clients, hey, delegate where you can, and then do what your skill where that you can't delegate, right? So you can leverage each other's strengths. But I don't want to just delegate and have them just do mundane stuff. I want them to also use their skills. So what do we do when I go in for the comprehensive exam at the tail end when they've gathered the records? Mm-hmm. They've done a full periodontal chart. They've also done an intraoral a scan as well, and they've taken photographs and everything. So, and I've got a sequence that I like to do. I like to start with the comprehensive exam. I like to start with the photographs, and it's just some basic extraoral, intraoral photos just to look at the smile, get a general idea if they're happy or not with it, and then you can see some close-ups of the teeth. So if you see inflammation, you see staining, then at least the patient can actually make comments, oh, I hate looking at that, or, hey, I really like my smile. Then, you know, you don't have to waste time talking about aesthetics as much, right?
Right.
But so we have the photos. So they quickly go through the photos, and then they go into the foundation, which is perio. And then they give me, they show me the perio chart. They tell me how things are going. They give me the bleeding score. And then we together come up with the diagnosis, even though legally I have to give it. My hygienists at least have an idea, and they go, well, I think this is it. And I go, yeah, you're absolutely correct. This is what the diagnosis is. And I'll write that in the chart or type it in. And then we'll go, okay, well, what do you think? Well, we need more active therapy. So we're going to bring them back for another 2 visits. And this is what I'm going to do. Perfect. It's great. And I trust them wholeheartedly. And then we start talking about the others. Well, walk me through the restorative. Like what are some of your findings for restorative? And we have a couple of things in the room. We have a caries diagnostic aid.
Okay.
So he's CariView. So if there's overlap on the x-rays, they automatically take the CariView, I'd say 9 times out of 10. Not all the time. So sometimes I roll my eyes, but I'd say 85% of the time they do, because I want to be able to see, separate the teeth, look interproximally. So they'll put that up. So we'll have different images and we'll look at it and go, and the things that are blatantly obvious that they could trip over, they'll say, look, these 3 things, I think there's caries or leaking fillings or cracked tooth. And I'll look at that. And then I'll walk through the rest of the radiographs if they're applicable, and then the clinical exam. And so they've already primed some of the obvious restorative. They've primed any obvious aesthetic issues that are obvious, because they got some photos there. And then the interesting thing now with the 3D scan is the patient can actually see if the teeth are crooked, if the bite's off. And they're like, oh, this is like, yeah, well, I think Dr. Shaw might be talking to you about seeing their orthodontist or seeing their periodontist or seeing their oral surgeon about the wisdom teeth. Right. So I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
Because we're collectively interdisciplinary. You respect that because you've got lots of friends through the Seattle Study Club. Right. So they're already talking to the patients. So they have a sequence of aesthetics, perio, restorative. And so they're priming. Where there's a bit of a challenge is some of the TMJ stuff. Unless it's really obvious, if they say, look, this person's complaining about a jaw joint, or they're having trouble biting into a raw carrot, just basic stuff they'll ask, but they're not as comfortable with that, so I'll ask those questions. But I think eventually they'll get there, but those 3 legs out of the 4, they're great at. Yeah. So that's how it is. When I walk in there, they start walking through the photographs, then they walk through the perio, and then we go through the restorative exam, and we go through in sequence, and they've got a checklist, so we walk through that.
Right.
And so they write on a laminated checklist.
Right.
And so when I walk in the room, I can already see a few notes scribbled rather than on the tray cover. So I know it's their checklist to know what to ask and not forget.
Yeah. Like, you and I are big fans of the Checklist Manifesto, which is one of the most important books to read. So you got to read that. And I love how you have that all in laminated, because then it's done every single time for every single patient. But throw us a nugget on the whole, like, here, a lot of young dentists I watch this, they struggle with how to discuss like bone loss. Like,
right.
Because you now do imaging incredibly. Like, take us through that whole conversation, because here's why I ask that. Because a lot of them are so afraid to overwhelm the patient, but bone loss is a serious deal.
It is, because that's what, you know, look, we used to think that, hey, if you got a periodontal and compromised tooth, you pull it out, you stick an implant in there, and everything's fine. Now we know that's not necessarily the case. The literature and studies show that if you've got active perio in one area and you've got implants in the other, you know, ultimately those a lot of those implants will fail over time, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think you're also finding some dentists going back trying to save teeth and periodontists. So so I think part of this whole process is understanding that if the foundation of everything is perio, if you've got a really good stable mouth, stable foundation, lack of inflammation or minimal amount of inflammation, your restorative dentistry is going to last longer. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that. Yep. I've had patients who've had like 5, 6, 7 millimeters of bone loss for like 20 years, but their perio is immaculate now, that their teeth aren't wobbly. Even though they've got their roots showing, the teeth are still stable. Mm-hmm. And so giving them that measurement, I mean, you have to. That's just like getting, you know, measuring your blood pressure and your levels of all your nutrients in your blood, in your body.
I mean, what you're really talking about is a standard of care that's repeated over and over and over.
Absolutely. Again. Absolutely. I should have used that term, but that's what it is. It's a minimum standard of care that we should be doing, but as a restorative dentist for a good portion of my career, I was only doing it selectively for the cases and patients that would walk in that were just blatantly obvious.
Okay.
And it was like, well, this is a no-brainer. There's so much inflammation and bleeding. I better do a perio chart, or I better send them off. And and so I was guilty of that. I'm not going to start throwing other people under the bus, but you hear that all the time.
I do. You know, right? I do.
Right? But I was the one that did that for, out of 27 years, I probably did that for a good 20 years.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, man, what if I didn't do that? What if we really did this? And then you start seeing differences. And then I started going, okay, well, now as I'm working with the specialist, how do I make that handoff and that collaboration that much smoother?
Yeah.
And so then I said, okay, well, let's calibrate. Let's talk to them about what do they need? What do I need to bring them up to snuff?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been great. I just don't hear complaints from the specialist, because when I refer, it's just smoother, and they can get into the work, and I know that they know that my patients are looked after.
Right. Now, I love having you on here, because I just throw you all the hard questions that I get. So what happens when you have a patient and they've been seeing you for a while, and now we're going to transition from what we might consider prophy conversations to active therapy? Like, that's a hard one. So how do you guys do that, and how do you make that transition from, our fees are going to be a little different for the next visit?
No, you're going to be spending more time. We're going to do a comprehensive exam. Well, now the team is really trained in it. You go, listen, you know, a lot of time has passed by over the last 5 years, Kirk, and the last time we did a comprehensive exam has been at least 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And notice that you've got a little bit more wear, some of the fillings are starting to break down, and, you know, a little bit more inflammation. So what we're going to do next time you come in is we really need to get a pulse of how things are in your mouth. So we're going to do a comprehensive exam. And it's going to be a comprehensive exam. We're going to check your muscles. We're going to look at, we're going to do an oral cancer screen. And we're going to actually take detailed measurements of your gum and bone and update all your x-rays. We might need a full mouth series because we haven't done it in a long time. And that big panoramic x-ray doesn't show us details of cavities.
Right.
So unless it's obvious. So we want to update everything. It's like an annual physical, and you're overdue for that.
That's awesome.
And I would say 9 times out of 10, they're fine. You get the odd patient going, well, I don't remember booking that. Well, dude, yeah, you booked it, but very, very rare. Okay. So yeah, they do that. When they come in, it's 110, it's 100 minutes.
Yeah.
It's 100 minutes, but we do all of that stuff. And literally majority of the patient, honestly, I would say that maybe one or two patients a month kind of just say, oh, I can't do this. But it's very, very rare. Mm-hmm. Very, very rare. Because now they know it's just part of the process. And for those, they're just a little more else. But that's what we do. And Kirk, you have to do it that way. You have to bring it up. And there's nothing wrong with it. Another way, I was talking to my daughter about it, who practices in Chicago as a new grad. Mm-hmm. Part of it is also just telling the patient, you don't have to put, if you're in a practice where you took over from a dentist or from a retiring dentist, and you know the dentist he or she walked on water, mm-hmm, but they practice differently,
right?
And you all of a sudden you've got all of this, you know, big 5 surface amalgams, and you've got all these pin amalgams, and you've got perio issues. Well, you know what? It's easy by just saying, listen, you know, you get to know them, but for the longest time, Kirk, you were seeing Dr. X, and they did a wonderful job of keeping your teeth and helping you stabilize it. But when they went through school, everything was focused on decay because there was a lot of decay back then. When I went through school, there's less decay. There is more periodontal and foundational issues, which weren't really taught because it wasn't an issue back then. Yeah. With you, noticing more inflammation. The fillings that were done are great. Some of them are starting to break down. When they start breaking down, you start ending up having some inflammation.
Right.
So for some of them, we might need to start considering some crowns. And we can do them a little at a time. But I got to get these tissues cleaned up and the inflammation down.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do. And that's how I bring it up. You're not throwing anyone under the bus. It's not their fault. That's how society was, and that's how it was trained. Moving forward, we're going to probably see, with these millennials, we're going to see less caries, right?
Right.
We might see more with the group after them, because now all these communities are saying, oh, fluoride's bad for you. So I think, you know, in 25 years, we're going to see decay going up again, unfortunately, because, you know, the activists don't want fluoride. That's a whole other story. Don't bring me on that.
Now I am going to bring you into this conversation because you are so well connected in the digital workflow. Like, yeah, I love having you on. We talk about, you know, what we're seeing in trends. Here's what I want to, you know, how would you answer? What does perio and digital look like in the future from your best guess in the next year? What are we going to see? How is it going to be a little bit different? Is there anything you're noticing right now?
Listen, here's what I'm doing. I've got in my practice, because we're doing an intraoral scan for our exams as well, I have 2 things that are electronic health records. One is their periodontal chart, where I've got everything, where I can look you in the eye and you said to me, hey, is the gum line receded? Mm-hmm. Darn right, it's receded, because the last 3 years, it was at 2 millimeters. Now it's at 4.
Right.
Something has happened. Right. And the mobility's there. So either you got some trauma, you're biting on it too heavily, we've got to get this sorted out. But I have a 3D scan now. So Kirk, now I can actually, you've got an intraoral 3D scan that will also show all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either, you're at iTero, 3Shape, whatever it is, but how do you hide that? You can. So now I got 2 things going for me. So, in terms of perio diagnosis, I think it's a huge thing because you've got this electronic health record there for you. And we use that in our practice. And you can look at wear, you can look at tooth movement. So if I scan and then let's say iTero's time lapse, and then I bring them back in it for a different time period, I can take those 2 scans and superimpose them, just like I can look at 2 perio charts side by side.
That's awesome.
Right? So we've got that. That's huge. And I just think, well, it's interesting because in the Seattle Study Club, a lot of the periodontal study clubs that I've talked to that are directors of periodontists, most of them that I've met have scanners. Right. They're also using it to help with their scanning for implants and stuff for their referrals. But, you know, I don't know if they're actually using it for their exams, but I think they can and should.
Yeah,
it's absolutely part of their diagnostic process. The other thing you can use it for is creating appliances and doing treatment planning. And I'm using it for that because now you can incorporate that scan into software like implant planning and restorative right. software to start planning cases and looking yeah. at that. So, and it's huge. Yeah. I would be using all of that, and that's what we're doing in our practice. And yeah. I finally got a periodontist in our study club doing that, and then a oral surgeon. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, you do have a very cool group. I mean, that's you know, hats off to you. You found the right type of people, and you guys have all grown together. You trust each other.
Right.
You also are on the same page as each one of the pages, which is hard to do. It's hard to do. But once you find that group, it changes the game. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I always like to ask this question, and I've asked you, have you ever remembered a better time to be a dentist?
Like, no, you know what? It's interesting. It is. And, you know, our daughter just graduated less than a year ago, and I was thinking, it's a great time. And then I was thinking, oh, maybe it's not because things are changing. But okay. I all of a sudden starting to realize, and I'm rejuvenated. I'm rejuvenated by her and her contemporaries, like the kids that are the millennial group of dentists that are coming out. Yeah. I mean, you see that. They're on social media. They're changing the way we look at things. Yep. And there are some that I'd say maybe not for the good, but there are a bunch of them that are really good-hearted, that really care. They want to make dentistry fun. They want to modernize it for themselves and make it more enjoyable for themselves, and they're doing that. And I've told a few of them who they've said I serve as a mentor, and a few of my contemporaries serve as mentors for them, that I said, hey, you guys are inspiring me too. And they're like, well, how? And we're like, because you're rejuvenating me. You're making me realize that there's this whole world out there that I was kind of dismissing, of these younger patients and some cool treatments and cool diagnostic processes. And so I'm actually excited about working with a variety of people and not just focusing on just, oh my God, I've just got to continue seeing the baby boomers. And what if I don't have any more baby boomers? So they're opening up my eyes to that. So yeah, I think it's a really, really cool time. And I'm fortunate that I still am going to have 10 plus years left if I want to, to enjoy that part of it. Who knows what's going to happen 25 years from now. That's not my problem. But it's a fun time.
It's a fun time. Yeah. So, buddy, I always love these conversations with you because we can go out for hours at all these components. And you and I are going to cover the leadership part. We're going to go through the aesthetics thing.
Okay.
So many other things. Now, I know if you guys are watching this, if you haven't had Paresh to your study club, I don't know what you're thinking. You got to get this guy. Now, I know some people are going to wonder, how do I get a hold of you, Paresh? Tell us, how do we get a, you're a big Instagram guy. Like, you've got like.
I am. I've got a couple of thousand followers. I mean, I'd love to have more, but you know, there are.
I got one. My daughter. Yeah. She followed.
They're kind of cool, but you know what? The ones that I haven't purchased my followers, so that's the one thing. Like a lot of people will end up buying them, and they're ending up from, you know, Central America, and they're all a bunch of kids that don't even do anything. So it's it's been a cool. So Instagram and also my email. Those are the two things. So. My email, I think, do you guys have that there?
Yeah, we're going to post that in the link. Yeah. Not only your Instagram, as they call it, a handle. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. Or address. So reach out to Paresh. He's awesome at being able to answer your questions. And I'm going to end with one last question. Give me a prediction on the game today. Like I need a final score.
It's going to be Winnipeg Jets. I don't know what the score is. I don't really care what the score is. As long as we have one more goal than, Las Vegas. You got to love Las Vegas for everything they've gone through, and an expansion team and the whole thing. But I just feel it's our time. And I just think, well, we're a better team. It's as simple as that. We may not win it four straight, but I'd be pretty surprised if we don't move on to the championship, to the finals.
Yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I haven't been following either team very closely, but it's a great series to watch. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fantastic.
Awesome, buddy. Well, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But you guys, thank you so much for tuning in today. Again, if you have questions, add them to the feed and you'll see Paresh will get back to you because we want you guys to get the most out of this.
Absolutely.
And then keep adding suggestions for shows with Paresh or any of the other amazing clinicians that we have on here. And buddy, I'm just so grateful. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Man. It was awesome. Appreciate it.
Oh my gosh, it's my pleasure. Until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practice Show. You guys have a great evening.